Welcome to Truth for Today. The subject for our consideration today is the name of God. Our speaker is Paul Thompson.
Good morning and welcome to Truth for Today. The title of our study is The Name of God. This is the third talk in the series entitled The Believer's Resources. This subject was suggested to help Christians understand and appreciate what is so remarkable and powerful about the name or names of God. I have also included the names of the Lord Jesus later in the talk, because he is the Son of God, but truly God. In the Bible, names are very significant. Names were often given because of their meaning. One of the clearest examples is Joseph, to whom Pharaoh gave the name Zaphnath-Paneah, meaning Saviour of the World. Joseph, of course, later became the Saviour of Egypt. When we choose names for children, it is for different reasons. Sometimes it's just because you like the name, nothing else. You may decide on a biblical name. Maybe it was your mum or dad's name. Or you may take the name of a famous person or celebrity you adore. Very few of us decide because of the meaning. Names are important to identify each other. Often in years gone by, a son had exactly the same name as his father. For example, the father was James and the son was James. So to identify whom you were talking about, it had to be James Senior and James Junior. Sometimes local people were better known by their nickname because of this. Once we identify who a person is by their name, we have a picture in our mind of what they look like, where they live, how many children they have, if they are rich or poor. If we know them well, we can think about their character. Is he or she a good person? All this knowledge that we have about a person creates a picture that we connect to their name. It's how we use this information that is the key. Often, we immediately judge a person, which is wrong. We may look up and respect the person. The way we use that person's name is also important. We may use it in a derogatory way, in gossip, or even name-dropping to help a cause. We can use that name also in a loving, caring, or comforting way. The reason for giving you these examples is to illustrate the importance of a name and the different ways we consider that person, often by how well we know them. God has many names. If we look through our Bibles from Genesis to Revelation, we read of the same God, but with many different names. I have come to the conclusion that the character of God is so vast that it cannot be encapsulated in one name. I would like to go through various names of God in the Bible and see what they mean, see God's character displayed in them, and learn what they mean to us today. The nine names we are going to look at and their meanings are 1. Elohim, strength and creative power. 2. Jehovah, self-existing. 3. El Shaddai, Almighty God. 4. Adonai, Master. 5. Jehovah Sabaoth, warfare and service. 6. Emmanuel, God with us. 7. Jesus, Saviour. 8. Christ, the Anointed One. 9. Abba, Father. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." God, in this verse, is the English form of the Hebrew Elohim. This means strength and creative power, which we see clearly in the creation. In verse 26 of the same chapter, we can see the Godhead. "Let us make man in our image." The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, an example of the full Godhead or Trinity working together. The believer today can enjoy considering God as the great creator, the one who put the heavens and earth into place by the word of his mouth. In Psalm 124, verse 8, we read, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth." It is a great comfort to know that we know the Creator. One of my favourite holidays is skiing. I have found myself many times winding through the trees, looking around at the mountains and the wonderful scenery, singing to myself, "O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand have made." It is good for us to acknowledge and worship God when we recognise the wonders of creation. Genesis chapter 2 verse 4 speaks about the Lord God who made the earth and the heavens. The primary meaning of the name Lord, Jehovah or Yahweh, is the self-existent one. He that is, who he is, therefore the eternal I am. But Hava, from which Jehovah or Yahweh is formed, signifies also to become. That is, to become known. So Jehovah means the self-existing one who reveals himself. So we can see that as Jehovah, it was his desire to have a special relationship with man. He it was who sought out Adam and Eve when they sinned in the garden. He it was who clothed them with coats of skin. The revelation of the name Jehovah we find in Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. There he promises to redeem his people and bring them out of the affliction of Egypt. In the New Testament, he is revealed to us in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, we have the revelation of God as El Shaddai, Almighty God. The meaning of El signifies the strong one. Shaddai is formed from the Hebrew word shad, the breast. In scripture, it is used primarily for a woman's breast, which would bring nourishment, strength, and satisfaction. El Shaddai is the name of God which sets him forth as the strength giver and satisfier of his people. El Shaddai not only enriches but makes fruitful, as we see in Abraham, who was told he would be the father of many nations. In the book of Job, the name Almighty occurs 31 times in a different character, the one who chastens his people. In the days of Abraham and Job, God spoke to them directly. They likewise walked and talked with God. The people relied on the words and actions of these men to do what was right in God's eyes. The people had no direct relationship with the Almighty One. Today, it is different. Individually, we have been brought near by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The distance has been removed. However, we can look upon God as the Almighty One, in whom we live and move and have our being. The one who sustains the universe and the upholder of all things. He is the one who holds us in his hand. Our very breath is given by him. With reverence, we would do well to meditate and take comfort in the fact that God is in control in every way. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 2, we read how Abraham addresses the Lord God. Here the word in Hebrew is Adonai, which means master. We can see that Abraham was acknowledging that he was the servant and God was the master. A servant needs direction in service, but must also be obedient to his master. We too must acknowledge this servant-master relationship with reverence in our lives as we live in this world. When we read verses like Proverbs 18 verse 10 and 1 Samuel 17 verse 45, we can see God as the one who gives us strength, security, safety and power. When David went out to meet Goliath, he went in the name of the Lord of hosts. This is another of God's names, Jehovah Sabaoth, in reference to warfare and service. So David could depend on God to be with him while he went forward to meet the enemy. We too can depend on him in a similar way as we serve him in this world while facing the wiles of the devil. Of course, we have the scripture in the New Testament that we must put on the whole armour of God to protect us. But the armour must go on with prayer and total dependence on him. We must depend entirely on him because without him, we can do nothing. We also see in Psalm 24 verse 10 that he is the Lord of hosts and the King of glory. I have already commented on the fact that God spoke through various means to individuals and prophets, and it was their work to convey God's thoughts to the people. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, we read that God has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Today, we are very privileged that God the Son came himself into this world to reveal the heart of God to us. I read a little pamphlet written by a dear lady about her life. She spent her life entirely in the Lord's service. While serving in India, she tells the story of a young Indian nurse who came to work with her. Her name was Lakshima, which means goddess of wealth. She was from the lowest outcast community. She came to know the Lord Jesus as her saviour, and she took on the name of Kiriba, meaning grace. Her morning prayer was, O God Almighty, how wonderful that you love us. and you like us to call you Father. And you sent your Son to die for us. And today, do please help us so that the people coming here learn to know about you too. What a wonderful, sincere prayer of appreciation, thanksgiving, and worship. In Matthew chapter 1, the name Emmanuel is mentioned, which means God with us. The only way that God could reveal his wonderful heart of love towards us was coming into this world and living amongst men, in the likeness of men, but truly God. How wonderful that God loved us so much that he was prepared to send his only Son to be the Saviour. To the believer today, there is no name like the name of Jesus. We read in Matthew chapter 1 that the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph to tell him his wife Mary was to have a son. He was instructed that he was to call him Jesus, which means Saviour, because he was to save his people from their sins. Jesus was the name by which he was known as he walked through this world. Luke 2 tells us, the young man Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man. In his early years, he lived in Nazareth with his parents working as a carpenter. During the years of his public ministry, when he went about preaching and doing miracles, he was known to the people as Jesus. His character was one of love, kindness, goodness, patience, and holiness. His witness was of his Father, and to declare to this world the Father who had sent him into this world. His work was to do his Father's will and go to the cross of Calvary to die and take the punishment of our sins. He was proclaimed there as Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. We as Christians should love and appreciate the name of Jesus because of what he did for us at the cross. There are many lovely hymns that would express our thoughts about his name much better than I can. Jesus, oh how sweet the name. Jesus, every day the same. Jesus, let all saints proclaim his worthy name forever. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. When we think of the name of Jesus, we consider his life and his death. Oh, how we should value his name. Do we shiver when someone uses his wonderful name as a swear word? Are we quick to speak of him? I would like to challenge you this day as to how much the name of Jesus means to you. When we go on a little further into the New Testament, we see Jesus referred to as Jesus Christ. Christ means the Anointed One. In Hebrew, it is interpreted Messiah. Jesus being his human name, Christ is his official name or title. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, we read he was anointed with the Holy Spirit, so then he was officially the Christ. We know that although Jesus died, he rose again and went back to heaven. We read in many scriptures of Jesus Christ. This would speak of the man himself, the anointed one, who will return again and will soon be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Sometimes he is referred to as Christ Jesus, which would tell us that he is in heaven. Christ Jesus is the head of the church, that is, of each one of us who are true Christians. The name Christian means one who belongs to Christ. Dear fellow Christian, are we worthy to take on that name? Yes, we are worthy. We belong to him because he has purchased us at a tremendous cost. But do we live up to that name? Today, it is so easy to say, I am a Christian. Would we say this so easily if we were faced with the choices that many dear martyrs were faced with in Britain a few hundred years ago? Be happy to take on his great name, but let's strive to be like him. Lastly, I would like to bring your attention to God revealed as Abba, which means Father. The Lord Jesus came into the world to reveal the Father to us. In John's Gospel, chapter 15, the Lord Jesus tells us that if we ask the Father anything in the name of Jesus, he will give it to us. So you can see that over the ages, that the difference between the names Almighty God and Father are great. Today, we can still consider God as the Almighty because of his greatness, but we are privileged because we know him as our Father, which brings God before us in a different way, a loving, close, intimate relationship between a father and his children. How wonderful that we are in the position of children of God because of the work of redemption on the cross. We can approach the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus wants us to know the Father. He wants us to understand his Father's loving heart. He could say, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He tells us of his Father's house, which will be our home above. As we close our talk today, I hope that in looking at the different names and their meanings we have listed, you will be encouraged to consider God's character and how we can use his name for comfort, strength, sustenance, nearness, thanksgiving, and praise. May God bless you today. Amen.